I search for a leader who understands the challenges facing America in a changing world. Above all, I search for a leader who is ready to step in and be present. Today, I have come back to Springfield to tell you that I found that leader.
That's Senator Barack Obama announcing Saturday his pick of Senator Joseph Biden as VP candidate. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about several subjects. First, David Namo joins us to talk about the Democratic vice presidential pick on that side, Joseph Biden and his social views. After that, we'll talk with Sarah Foster of Feminists for Life about feminism and abortion. You can join us for the next hour as well. 1-877-623-MYIE. We're coming to you live this Monday, August the 25th. 1-877-623-MYIE. You can also email questions or comments right here to the studio. We'll get them in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. David Namo is executive director of FRC Action for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. David, welcome to Issues Etc.
Good to be here.
I guess few were surprised by the pick of Senator Joseph Biden as the VP for Barack Obama's run for the presidency. They're both running on a platform of bringing change to the nation. Does this pick of Joseph Biden represent change, in your opinion?
It depends on change about what. Joe Biden is not quite as radical as Senator Obama on some of the abortion issues, but he certainly believes in Roe versus Wade. You know, Senator Obama, of course, has the most radical views we've ever seen out of nearly any senator in the U.S. Congress. And Joe Biden isn't quite that bad, but they're both very pro-choice. Joe Biden and Senator Obama are lockstep in a lot of issues. So, shocking as far as change, it's no change from what we would expect from Senator Obama.
Where do these two men, Senator Obama, Senator Biden, part on the issue of abortion? Whereabouts is that?
Well, Senator Biden actually does believe in a partial birth abortion ban, you know, from April 2007. And he said that, you know, they both agree. Well, unlike Obama, Senator Biden does say that he accepts the Catholic Church view that life begins at conception because he is Catholic, unlike Senator Obama, who told Rick Warren that such a thought is above his pay grade. They are a little bit different. Senator Obama, when it comes to the issue of marriage, if you want to talk about that, Senator Obama has pledged to overturn the Defense of Marriage Act, and Senator Biden actually has voted for that. So there are small issues, but what I think you're going to find is as they stand together, they're going to be of one voice.
It's staying with the abortion issue for just a moment, and I do want to come back to DOMA, but is it safe to say that what we're looking at here, going into the opening of the Democratic National Convention tonight, a thoroughly pro-choice, pro-Roe presidential ticket?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The press and some what we would consider liberal social, you know, liberal social conservatives, if that's even a word, who claim that the Democratic platform had changed and become inclusive for, you know, the issue of life was complete nonsense. The Democratic platform insists on abortions on demand and the public funding of abortion, and that doesn't change. And when you have a presidential candidate who is more radical than I would have ever imagined on abortion, and Senator Biden from Delaware, who is completely in favor of Roe versus Wade and completely opposed to overturning Roe versus Wade, there's very little air between them.
Well, let's look at the issue of marriage here. You mentioned the Rick Warren's Saddleback Civil Forum on the presidency, and the answer that Senator Obama gave there was something to the effect of, well, he believes that marriage is a man and a woman, but he was in favor of civil unions and of expanding legally all the rights and privileges to same-sex couples, I assume short of marriage, and he also said that he opposed a constitutional amendment to define marriage as a man and a woman. Have I gotten his position there correct, and is Joe Biden any different on that issue?
Well, I want to get to marriage. One last thing that I just completely forgot. Senator Obama said one of the first things he's going to pass if elected president is the Freedom of Choice Act, which would overturn hundreds of state laws that regulate abortion. So that is one thing, and I don't know if I do not know Senator Biden's opinion about that.
But how would he go about doing that?
By executive order.
He would issue an executive order overturning regulatory laws, state by state, in abortions?
Exactly. Well, the Freedom of Choice Act would overturn. It would trump statewide laws, for example, parental notification laws and things of that nature. He also has the power of the federal government and the money, and so I'm sure it would turn into a court battle, and who knows how it would end up. But merely the principle that the first thing he would sign would be the Freedom of Choice Act, which would overturn hundreds of state laws that regulate abortion, minor parental notification, crossing over state lines, that's a federal issue when you cross state lines with a minor to have an abortion. But if you have the Freedom of Choice Act that's been passed, that's no longer a problem.
It sounds like it would, in effect, turn every state into Senator Obama's home state of Illinois.
Exactly.
Okay, then let's talk about DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Is there any light between the two men, Biden and Obama, on the issue of marriage, gay marriage, and the definition of marriage?
Senator Biden, we'll start with him, voted for the Defense of Marriage Act, has voted against the Marriage Protection Amendment, but he's also in favor of federal hate crimes and allowing gays in the military. Now, Senator Obama, in an interview with a pro-homosexual periodical called The Advocate, said, one of the things I'm going to overturn is DOMA. And so for a guy that believes, as he told Rick Warren, or allegedly believes, let's say that, that marriage is a state rights issue, why would he overturn DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, and which would essentially remove the state's rights to enforce their own constitution?
What other concerns might you have being signaled about an Obama-Biden ticket by the choice of Joe Biden to be the running mate?
Well, I think if you want something, the one thing that Barack Obama, no matter what you thought about his issues, gave was kind of a new, he was new and he had interesting ideas, and people were excited about him because he just didn't seem to have that old Washington D.C. feel. And by putting Joe Biden on the ticket, I think what you have is, I really am no different than any other politician. I am Washington D.C. through and through, and yeah, my issues are here and there. And I may look young and sound young, but in the end, I'm just a politician, and I'm here to power drive my issues through in any manner fashionable.
What do you expect from the Democratic National Convention that we'll be watching at least for a couple hours every night on television this week with regard to what it might say in the various speeches on the issues of abortion and the family?
I don't think you're going to hear very much. They put Bob Casey up, and they claim that he's their pro-life speaker, but I believe Bob Casey supports funding of abortions, and he is not his father, Bob Casey Sr. Bob Casey Jr. isn't quite so pro-life. And so they may try to sell one thing, but what you're going to see is not anybody talking about issues that are going to hurt this candidate. They're not going to talk about traditional marriage. They're not going to talk about the issue of abortion. They're going to talk about how they stand for everybody and that they stand for all families and that they stand for, they have a broad tent and that they've included everybody and that they are for change, And it's really going to be, we're not George W. Bush. We are new. We are fresh. We are here to change America for the better. That's what you're going to hear. And the guy to lead us is going to be Barack Obama. And that's what you're going to hear over and over ad nauseum, really.
Okay, so with Senator Obama's pick of Joe Biden, how important is Senator McCain's vice presidential pick? About a minute here before we wrap up.
I think Senator McCain needs to stick with his promise that he is pro-life and he's going to have a pro-life administration. And there's been a lot of rumors in the news about having a pro-choice candidate Lieberman or Ridge, and I think Senator McCain needs to take that one final step and reassure the base and reassure those who believe life is important and put a pro-life vice presidential candidate forward. And I actually believe that he's going to do that. I hope he does not put a pro-choice candidate there.
David Nammo is executive director of FRC Action for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a direct link to the Family Research Council, issuesetc.org. Dave, thanks for being our guest.
It was my pleasure.
When we come back from this break, Sarin Foster is going to join us. Sarin is executive director of Feminists for Life based in Washington, D.C. Now, many who hear the term feminist and hear the word pro-life consider the two mutually exclusive. And why wouldn't you? Because so many of the loudest voices of feminism are decidedly pro-choice. In fact, the two, that is, this fourth wave radical movement feminism and the pro-choice movement, Roe v. Wade, are all bound together, tied together in a Gordian knot. One might wonder, can you separate feminism from its pro-choice, pro-abortion, pro-Roe positions that we so often find in the public square? We'll find out after this. Sarin Foster will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Mark Lamprecht, Emma Heidenreich, Kathleen Patrick, Mr. and Mrs. Larry Thompson, Martin McHenry, David Thompson, Kathleen Hine, Kevin Smith, Jonathan McNeely, and Sarah Billings. Thanks for your support.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.